Continue our study in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 7. Oh. From the Garden of Eden all the way through history, there had to be a sin solution if we were to be saved. By the way, let me stop at that point to mention that God was not obligated to save us. It's all by grace. He could have chosen to let man stand condemned. But if man were to be saved, that the solution had to be within God himself, because man couldn't do nothing. By so much more wasn't exactly a very priestly thing to do. And so Aaron was chosen, oath given to him. You see, that's in contrast to David, for example. David was told that there will always be someone sitting on the throne of David. And of course, it appointed to the Messiah, right? Who would be on the throne forever. And so there was a swearing there. But there's no oath that was connected to the Old Testament priest. That God did not swear to them that they have a continuation, or the fact that this priesthood would last forever. None of that happened. However, in Psalm 110 and verse 4, you know, it says that God, and it's quoted here, it says God said he's not going to repent, he's not going to relent, he's not going to change his mind. He said, you are a priest after the order of Melchizedek, a priest how long? Forever. After the order of Melchizedek, okay? Wasn't talking about Aaron. Wasn't talking about the high priesthood at all. Wasn't even talking about the priesthood that was set up under the law of Moses. So we have an oath here, sworn by who? God himself. Now, you can't get any higher than that, right? He said, I'm going to do it. By the way, can God lie? No, said, let God be true and every man a liar, right? So God can't lie, so you're going to be a priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. And so, by the way, this word forever is not the word that we would translate forever. The word is eon. It means unto all ages. Literally what it means. So when we talk about eons and eons of time, we're talking about ages and ages of time. It's what it means. In other words, it's perpetual. It'll go on and on and on. All right? And so God, now this is kind of an interesting statement. God made Jesus a priest. Say, wait a minute. What I mean, he made him a priest. Word ginnamai. Made him a priest. What does that mean? Well, Jesus did not become priest until he took on the priestly function, which of course happened at his crucifixion, his resurrection. Then he ascended and sat where? He had the right hand of the Father, making what? Intercession for us, okay? So he became our priest, even though he was God forever, the Son of God forever. He took on three roles. First of all, he took on flesh. Then he took on being our what? Sacrifice. Now he takes on being our priest. You know, that was a new function for the Son of God, is the fact that he had to be made priest. That's why this is connected with John 3:16, that God so loved the world, he did what? Gave his only Son and Son. It's a gift. Wasn't obligated, right? Didn't have to do it. It was a gift that God gave out of his grace and out of his love, gave to us that we'd be an offering for man, and he became three things. He became our sin offering, he became the priest, and he became king forevermore. And so these three functions are all within the person of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to notice something else that he says here, that the oath, this oath is irrevocable. It will not change. If Jesus is going to be a priest, he's not going to change his mind. He says it's forever. I said, and isn't that great? I mean, that's good news, that he's not going to change his mind, that he is a priest forever. You know, Aaron wasn't a priest forever because Aaron did what? He died. And Aaron's sons died, and their sons died. And that's what it says, that the priest could not continue because he continually passed away. He says, but Jesus is the priest forever. And so he will not change his mind to salvation. And by the way, because he's a priest forever, our eternal life is secure. Amen? We're secure because he is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And our assurance rests in the integrity of God that he swears an oath. This is what's called an irrevocable oath. You know, you had two types, unconditional unconditional covenants and you have conditional covenants. For example, Eli, you know, God came to Eli and says, you know, I was determined, Eli, to have, you know, your family sit on the priesthood, you know, and perpetually, but because you have honored your sons higher than me, I'm not going to do that anymore, right? I'm taking it away because you wouldn't do it. Well, he said, no, it's not like that. This is unconditional. It's unconditional that he is a priest after the order of Melchizedek, and that priesthood is not going to change his mind, is forever. Amen. Now, that's why this is a far better covenant. The new covenant will last forever because it's under the Lord Jesus Christ that we have this covenant. It will not, he will not change his mind, far superior to the old, because the old covenant could not remove the guilt of sin, could not pay for it. The old covenant mediated sin through priests and mortal animals, which could not permanently remove the sin, could not do that. The old covenant was flawed from its inception. Now, let me explain a little bit here, because say, wait a minute, how can God set something up that's flawed? Well, it's flawed in the sense it could not satisfy the sin offering conditions that God set up. It was a temporary organization. It was a temporary institution. And it was flawed towards our sins. So nowhere, at no time, did the high priest walk out of Yom Kippur, came out, well, last sacrifice we ever need. Because the next year you have to do what? Have to offer another one and another one. But notice it says here that Jesus was offered how many times? Once and for all times. Did not need any, the offering's complete. That's why on the cross he yells out, remember the seven words from the cross, he yells out to Tetelestai, which means it's finished. It's done. What's done? Sin has been paid for in full, completely. It's a done deal. It's a finished deal. And so the old covenant. Okay, maybe that's the commercial break here. Anyway, so the law, though the law was perfect, we're not. And we could not keep the law, right, perfectly because of the fact that the law is perfect, but we're not. And so we fall short. That was one of the problems with the law, is the fact no one could keep that standard. Matter of fact, it's even worse over in James chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, if you violate one part of the law, you violate the whole thing. So they, oh my, you know. So you mess up once, but that's it, done deal. You've done violated the whole thing. And so the law was perfect. We're not. So what we needed was a Redeemer who was perfect to take our place, that his redemption would be applied to us, and that redemption would be forever because he purposely and continually could keep God's law, because he was perfect. So the Old Testament law could not be permanent. Now, here's something that's interesting in this passage. This is the first time the word covenant is used in the book of Hebrews. So what's interesting about that? What's interesting about that is it's going to be used 16 more times before we finish the book. We get to chapter 13. In other words, this whole theme of covenant is going to be mentioned over and over and over again, because we have a better covenant. He's going to emphasize that. Matter of fact, the word covenant is used more times in the book of Hebrews than any other book in the New Testament. And so it's a very strong theme throughout this book. Now, the high priest could never continue in office because he continually died. And so according to Josephus, there were 96 high priests from the time of Aaron to the time of Jesus Christ, and because I kept dying off. And so Now James Bishop puts that number at 113, but Josephus, I think, says it was 96. And so Jesus continues forever. At his resurrection, Christ overcame death for all believers. That's why I had you read that passage. Death, where's your what? Where's your sting? See, Jesus had overcome death, And so we no longer sting. So when we pass, like when Myrtle passed last night from this life into eternity, there was no sting of death for her. She passed absent from the body and present Lord went right into the arms of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so now, of course, for unbelievers, it's a different story, because they pass from this life, into eternal condemnation. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2, also Revelation chapter 20, 11 through 15. And so while in our sinful state, Christ makes intercession for us. We're told in Revelation 12 that the accuser stands before the throne doing what? Accusing us day and night. But according to Hebrews 4, we have a high priest who is not ineffectual, that he's making intercession for us continually. Because when he accuses us, Jesus says, my blood has been applied to their account and has taken away their sins. Amen? And that's exactly how it works. And so Jesus, now it's kind of interesting, Jesus, it says here, is our surety. The word's guaranteed. This is the only time that this word is used in the entire Bible. Over in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, the Holy Spirit has said, sometimes translated guaranteed, but that word means a deposit. In other words, the Holy Spirit's in us, and that deposit guarantees the full payment of eternal life. But this says the surety is the guarantee that Jesus is the cosigner, in our life, that he said, I'll pay it all. And so he's a surety. The word angelos in the Greek is the fact he's guarantees that it's going to be paid in full. And we'll have full delivery. Amen? Full delivery of salvation. And so we have a permanent high priest now. We don't have to worry about what priest we have from Levi, because that no longer is in effect. The old covenant high priest was totally flawed. First of all, he's not permanent. Matter of fact, I always found it intriguing when Aaron was appointed that he was like 85 years old. He didn't grow up saying, well, boy, I'd like to be high priest one day. So he was 85 years old, he's appointed, And so he's appointed high priest, in his old age. He was not permanent. And the first thing he had to do as high priest was to do what? He had to offer for his own sins. So here you have a sinful person who's going to offer for the sins of the people, but he first had to do what? Offer for his own sins, because he was also sinful, And so thirdly, this high priest could not remove the penalty of sin. He could not ever stand before the people and say, okay, I made the final sacrifice, you're all covered for all time. Couldn't say that, because it was not permanent. Now, Jesus is far better than the high priest, because he did not need to offer for his own sins, because he was sinless. Secondly, his intercession for us is continual and effective at all times. Remember when he told Peter? He said, Peter, Satan has been wanting to sift you like wheat, but I've been praying for you. Jesus' prayers are effectual. And unlike the high priest, with their many ineffectual offerings, Christ's offering was done once for all, because he offered what? His own self. Right? He offered his own self. And so there's nowhere, when you look around for all the offerings, there was no offering worthy enough. So he, being the Son of God, and God the Son, he offered for his own self, offered up in himself, not for his sins, but the sins for fallen man. Now Christ then has a better appointment. Now, I want you to notice this. Where it says that he has been made better, it doesn't mean that in his essence he was better, because he was eternally the Son of God. But he has a better appointment. We're going to find a passage later on in Hebrews which says, because for the joy that was set before him, he did what? He endured the cross. You know, so he has a better appointment in the fact that Romans chapter 5, that he became the second Adam, that many people might be able to enter glory. Amen. Because of this better appointment. And so he had a better appointment, a better ministry, far better than the high priest, because even though the high priest was appointed as a weak individual, a weak intercessor, flawed and dying, Christ was appointed after the law was established, being greater than the law. So it's kind of interesting that Melchizedek touches the Bible at three points. One in Genesis 14, when Melchizedek meets Abraham long before the nation of Israel came around. Secondly, we see him in Psalm 110 when he comes down and he says, listen, there's going to be another priesthood, and that not after the order of Aaron, but after the order of Melchizedek. And then now we find in the book of Hebrews that he has come, he's appointed after the law, being predicted before the law, and is greater than the law. Because Jesus says, I have not come to destroy the law, but that the law in me might be fulfilled. Now, Jesus, it says, has become higher than the heavens. Now, this is kind of confusing. Because it wasn't Jesus already higher than the heavens? Well, Son of God, he was, right? But what it means is he has become a person that had a greater ministry now because of what he done. He's taken us in now with him and has become even higher in his position because of salvation that is offered through his offering. By the way, this is a very difficult Greek passage. It makes terrible English because the verb is actually says, is having become. That's the verb, is having become. Well, how can you have is having become? You have become his. Well, is having become is this. He always was. What he did is an is. But by taking more and more people in as they come to Christ, he is having become. He's still doing it. What was the effect of the cross still has effect today. So if you go out today and you lead someone to the Lord, he's having become greater in his position, because here's another life that has moved from death to life and will have eternal life because he is having become a greater position. We never translate that way. That's a not good English. She's a no good. And so, but that's exactly what the author is trying to get across, that Jesus, what he did, has a continuing effect on and on. It lasts. And until the last person comes, he is still becoming even greater by taking more people into the kingdom of God. Amen? It's a tremendous, tremendous concept here. Now, Jesus was always higher than ever, but by redeeming believers, in his eternal resume has been added to now, that is now he's redeemer of mankind as well. So he is Lord of Lord, King of Kings, also judge, but now also redeemer. Amen? And that is tremendous. So by gaining redeemed man, he has been made perfect. By the way, that doesn't mean he wasn't perfect before. The word perfect, teleos, we talked about that last week, he is made complete because his ministry was not complete until he offered himself for sins. His ministry will not be complete until all those who are going to come to Christ comes. His ministry will still not be complete until all his enemies are made his footstool, and then he'll turn around, 1 Corinthians 15, turn around, turn everything back to God the Father, who will be all in all. So his ministry is still continuing, and becoming greater and greater until the very end of time, when there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and we're part of that. You know, the declared greatest Olympian of all times was Michael Phelps, swimmer. He earned 28 medals. And no one's ever topped that. But he didn't earn them all at once. He had to continue swimming. He had to continue breaking records. He had to continue going to Olympics until he got to the point that he no longer could compete, but he had to continue doing that. By the way, he grew up here in Baltimore. It's kind of interesting. He's a local person up near Lutherville. And so, but he continued to doing that until his Olympic career was finished. Jesus is continually working today. His ministry is not finished yet. He has come to a point where there are people still coming into the kingdom. He's come to a point where there's people still being discipled. He's come to a point where he has to go through a rapture and a tribulation, and he'll rule in the millennial kingdom, and there's a great white throne judgment. So he's still ministering today, but when he finished ministering, his position will be the greatest of all time. It's still becoming greater, not as a person, but what he's accomplished. And that is to your benefit, and my benefit, for all eternity. Amen? Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the time we have here. We just pray, Lord, that we will realize what a tremendous thing it is that we're part of this kingdom, that Jesus had become a greater in position than the old covenant, greater than all that can be done through all time. And even though his person can never be greater, but his ministry surely is because he's taken many sons and daughters into glory. And Lord, just may that be something that is, you know, that we praise you for, Lord, and you worship you. But Lord, something also, if someone is hearing for the first time or hearing and never has responded to the gospel of Christ, they can be part of that, having become greater because of his greater ministry of saving people, and he does that even today, Lord. I just pray that person will come to Jesus Christ and enter this great kingdom, which will last forever and ever, because we have a surety in Jesus Christ, a guarantee that it will never fade, never fail, because he is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.